Luke.
Ben?
You will listen to the Wampa's Lair podcast.
Podcast?
There you will hear your hosts, Carl LeClair and Jason Hunt, as they discuss all things Star Wars. So join the conversation and hang out. Oh, and watch out for Wampas.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair Podcast. This is episode number 154, The Force Awakens at Tucson Comic Con. I'm, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and I am flying solo this episode because I am bringing you panel audio fresh off the presses, hot off the iron. Well, at least it just came out of my digital recorder. I am here recording Saturday night, the night after the first day of Tucson Comic Con, two-day con. I'll be going back tomorrow for the second day of the convention, where I'll be doing a trivia panel. Star Wars trivia, of course, because, you know, that's fun. But tonight, on this episode, you're going to be hearing the audio from our Force Awakens panel that we did at Tucson Comic Con earlier this evening. it was actually really good. Just a real quick synopsis of Tucson Comic Con and how it all went down for us at the panel. Us, meaning myself, and good friends of the show, Kyle Avery, Kyle Baca from Star Wars The Saga Continues, and Joey Letson, who got me on the panel at Tucson Comic Con last year, as well as a couple panels at Phoenix Comic Con earlier this year. He also, you know, is the one who won our contest for a new intro. So yes, and we had him on a couple episodes ago. But the three of us sat down and we discussed a lot of the what we do know about The Force Awakens coming out in 6 weeks, 40 days from the day of this recording. So exciting. Oh, I'm still on this high from talking about it all day. And then towards the second half of the panel, we do get into some more speculation and slightly spoilerish discussion. We do play both the trailer that was released during Monday Night Football a couple of weeks ago, and the trailer, the international trailer, that was released yesterday as of the day of this recording. So both of those are in this panel, audio-wise anyways. We were one of the final panels of the day for Tucson Comic Con Saturday. We had a panel at 5 o'clock, which was a good time. And while we ended up in one of the smaller panel rooms, we were standing room only. I believe there were enough chairs for about 50 people, but there was plenty of the room in the back if people wanted to stand. And we did have people standing. Most of the panel had at least 10 to 20 people standing in the back. So as we started getting more into some of the speculation and spoilers, some people dropped out to go get food or catch the exhibition floor before it closed or whatever. You know how cons go. But it went really well. It was a big hit. It had a very engaged crowd. They were very interested in what we had to say. Tucson Comic Con is doing pretty well. I don't quite know if it'll be as big as it was last year. It's kind of hard to tell because they do have it a little more spread out than last year. But so far, it seems to be going pretty well. It's organizational-wise, as far as behind the scenes, maybe it's a little disorganized, but that's because they're planning on growing, and growing always creates growing pains. And I think, give them another couple years, and it'll be a well-oiled con. It is a smaller convention. Last year was their biggest turnout at about 10,000, and we'll see how many people come this year. Maybe I'll give a number about that the next available episode I'm able to, or maybe I'll release it on Facebook or something. We'll see. But I feel like I've talked long enough. You want to hear the panel audio for this episode, because that's what we're here for. So, without any further ado, I'll turn it over to the panel, and you'll hear myself and Joey and Kyle all introduce ourselves. And I hope you enjoy it. And I'll catch you guys after the audio. Bye.
So, who's excited for the new Star Wars movie coming out?
Yes. There are a couple chairs up here in the front and in the middle if anybody has wants to squeeze in. Otherwise, yes, we do have standing room in the back.
So. In case you haven't noticed. Welcome, everybody, to Tucson Comic Con. How was everyone's first day, right? Woo! That's the enthusiasm I expected. No. Great. Well, we're here to talk about Episode 7, The Force Awakens, Star Wars Episode 7, that is.
Yes.
And first of all, let me go ahead and introduce everybody before we get started. My name is Joey Letson. I'm just a Star Wars fan like you guys.
Just a guy.
Yeah, just a guy. But over to my right here, we have two podcasters who would, I'm sure, like to introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Jason Hunt. I'm one of the co-hosts of the Wampus Lair podcast. So I do have business cards if you want them afterwards. Shameless self-promotion.
Yes.
This panel will also end up on the podcast as long as my audio turns out okay. In case you have friends that want to go listen to it afterwards. But basically our podcast, we just talk about anything Star Wars. It's just a discussion podcast. We're not really into the news, but occasionally with things like trailers, we talk about that. So if you want news, however, go to my right.
My name's Kyle Avery. I'm also on a Star Wars podcast called Star Wars The Saga Continues. And we pretty much talk about just The Force Awakens. We mostly focus on like the upcoming new stuff, but mainly focus on the movies. So we talk a lot about The Force Awakens, Star Wars Rogue One, as well as a little bit about Rebels, and we're huge Star Wars Battlefront fans as well. This is going to be fun, because I talk about this kind of stuff all the time with the speculation and the rumors and all that. But we go up to like 3 hours on our podcast sometimes. So if you want to hear more in-depth, detailed discussion on all the different stuff, everything around The Force Awakens, you can check us out.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and start off with what we had originally planned to do is show you the latest trailer. Well, turns out there was just one that dropped yesterday as well, which was awesome.
We will show that later on in the podcast.
Yes.
Podcast. Panel.
Yes, it's a podcast panel.
Yeah, sure.
But first we're going to go ahead and show the trailer that dropped just a little while ago.
And nobody minds watching that again, right?
No.
No. Better not. That would be interesting. Here we go. Can I hear it? We'll find out if we hear it in just a second.
Yep, there we go.
I'm sure you should do one thing.
this movie, right?
No. Oh. Might check that out.
That looks all right. I might go see that.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
Who's got their tickets already?
I did.
There we go.
Did you?
Know, I already feel a kindred spirit with a lot of you guys because we've probably gone through the nightmare together of all that Fandango crashing that went on that night.
Now, quick question. We asked this question last year when we did this panel. If you had the script to Star Wars The Force Awakens right now in your hands, would you read it?
No.
Raise your hand if you would read it. About 15%?
Less than last year.
Last year, we asked that same question. Guess what? I would say 90% of the people raised their hand.
They said yes.
We are 40 days, approximately, away from the event. I myself am going to the marathon, so I'll be starting at 3 o'clock in the morning. You too? Awesome. So I'll see you there. It's an exciting time. So just to let you guys know, we're going to start off this panel right here in a basic discussion of the characters and a lot of stuff that has been officially released by Lucasfilm. Then we're going to kind of get into more of a speculation-ish kind of thing that may perhaps go into some spoilery territory, but I assure you that we do not want to spoil anything. That is not our intention, because I know myself, and I don't know you guys, but I myself have pulled back a little bit. If you really want to get spoilers all the time, makingstarwars.net, I believe. It's a great website to find that kind of breaking stuff. But
we won't be talking about here.
That's not going to happen.
And even then, like, they have their sources and stuff. But like, even if we wanted to spoil it for you guys, it's not like we've read the entire script or watched videos of entire scenes being filmed or anything like that. So they've been pretty airtight about
Lucasfilm
has
done
and stuff.
Lucasfilm has done an outstanding job this time around of keeping it airtight. There hasn't even really been an official synopsis of this film.
No, we can't give you that at all. We can give you sort of like character descriptions and maybe some ideas of scenes that might actually go together, but there's been no actual synopsis. So if you're looking for a synopsis, we can't give that to you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we know it takes place 30 years after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
And we know some of the characters, so let's...
And that's about it.
we're
going to officially
get into who we know so far, who we've seen.
So when it comes to the characters, we have a cast of new faces and of old, familiar faces that we know as well.
Very old faces.
Yes. No, come on, give them a break. Okay. They look great.
True.
On the good guys side, we had the Rebel Alliance before in the past, and we have that same symbol. However, now we're calling the good guys the Resistance in this time.
We don't really know exactly why they're the Resistance.
Yes. There's books, there's Aftermath. Star Wars Aftermath has come out, which is starting. We're starting to get, and then Shattered Empire, the comic book series. We're starting to get some idea of the little bit of the transition towards Episode 7, but there's 30 years to fill in that gap. There's some talk of maybe having, the New Republic around, but where the Resistance fits in with this, we're just going to have to see.
I'll bring up some speculation on that later, but we'll save that for the second half of the show.
All right. So we have a character here played by Daisy Ridley. This character's named Rey, and this is the official character description from StarWars.com. Rey is a resilient survivor, a scavenger toughened by a lifetime of dealing with the cutthroats of the harsh desert world of Jakku.
End official description.
In case anybody thought that was still Tatooine.
It's not.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah, we are seeing in the trailers, and we are seeing in a lot of the promotional stuff, is that we have one of the key things of Tatooine is desert, but also twin suns, right? And every shot that we've seen of Rey on this desert planet, it's one sun, it's Jakku.
The picture on the left there for you.
Now, some people have speculated that maybe, J.J. Abrams is holding something back, that he's going to perhaps pull a fast one on us, say, it's not Khan, it's Khan, basically, right?
Yeah.
Now, what do you guys have any thoughts? Like, do we have to worry about this? Is there any way that maybe this was Tatooine at one point and then they changed its name?
With all the marketing material that they've got out there and all the toys that say Jakku on there, that is a lot of money that they've spent saying Jakku if it's really Tatooine. So it's got to be Jakku in my mind.
Yeah, and I mean, I've wondered about, I mean, why they would change it or why they would do something different here, because like from the first, I think when we saw the first teaser trailer, and you see like a couple of shots, you see BB-8 rolling along in the sand, and you see Rey jumping on her speeder, like that landscape and everything, it looks exactly like Tatooine, and so I was like so sure that that's what it was, but then they said it's Jakku, and I'm like, I don't really think there's a reason for them to try to deceive us like that, so
yeah.
I think, I guess maybe the point they're trying to make is that it's a big galaxy, and you can have more than one planet, there's just a lot of rocks and sand.
Exactly.
Yes.
Questions?
So it's also confirmed in Battlefront 3.
Right.
There you go. Okay. Well, yeah, and that is an important distinction to make, because in Battlefront, Tatooine is playable, and then they're also releasing the Battle of Jakku. So,
yes.
Yeah, I think they are two separate planets. I think there might be a reason as to why. I mean, we might see the movie and find out, like, oh, well, that's why they didn't have it set on Tatooine.
Right.
But we'll see.
And another character real quick to point out, so you were talking about toys and promotional materials.
BB-8. Totally the favorite character right here. I love BB-8. I want one.
I love BB-8.
I need a real one.
Yes, they got the Sphero one out and everything. Yes.
It's not big enough.
I just thought of this, but it's kind of a small spoiler. Have y'all read the book Lost Stars?
Not yet.
Not yet. I want to. I've heard really good things about it.
Well, there's something in the end that kind of foreshadows what we've already seen in the trailer.
Ooh.
If y'all want me to tell you.
No.
I'm fine if you want to tell me.
If anybody wants to know, go talk to her afterwards.
Yeah, you can come talk to me afterwards.
Yeah.
Because now I'm curious. But
I want to read the book.
I am trying to stay as spoiler-free as possible. I'll watch all the official stuff and look at all the official stuff, but I want to... MakingStarWars.com is blocked on my computer.
Well, BB-8, obviously Rey and BB-8 come together at some point here on Jakku. It looks like Rey is rescuing him from this scavenger kind of character. Again, really cool just to see, you know, some things like this would obviously be CG in the prequels, which I don't have a problem with CG, but then again, physical stuff is really darn cool.
And then the little really scavenger guy right there that is giving her BB-8 is like riding on a rhinoceros wearing an Imperial Walker Halloween costume.
Yeah. But and actually the actor in that suit actually was in the original trilogy. I forget who he played. Obviously somewhat of short stature, but he was in it too.
Interesting.
There you go. So moving on. We have Finn. Finn is played by John Boyega. The official description of Finn is as follows. A trained warrior, desperate to escape his past, Finn is plunged into adventure as his conscience drives him down a heroic but dangerous path.
End official description. Again, one sentence. That's it. We have no real information.
Yeah.
It's this cool character. Trust us. Okay.
And they know that we'll trust them because it's Star Wars and we're all going to go see it anyway. So.
Right.
So we know that Finn is, obviously, he's a stormtrooper. We can see that in that first trailer that we saw. Something happens with Finn that makes him say, maybe stormtrooping ain't for me.
Yeah. Well, you see that shot in the trailer where he's pulling off his helmet. It looks like his hands are bloody or something. You know, there's some blood
on his
helmet. And he looks absolutely horrified. I mean, we don't know what's going on there, but I think that's possibly the moment where he's like, I've had enough of this, man. I don't want to be a bad guy anymore.
Yes.
And which we're okay with.
Yes.
So. Yeah.
And of course, as we saw, there's some Finn lightsaber action. We'll get
Finn
into...
with Luke's lightsaber.
Yes.
Well, Anakin's lightsaber,
yes.
Even.
Yes, exactly. Hey, we'll go back.
We'll get into that later.
And we have Poe Dameron. Poe Dameron's played by Oscar Isaac. Poe Dameron's description is as follows. An ace pilot, Poe Dameron is a leader in the Resistance's fight against the evil First Order. He soars into battle behind the controls of a modern X-Wing fighter. End of description.
End description. There we go. That's
so,
it.
Again, we don't know much of Finn other than, I know it's Celebration, he mentioned that he's put out on a mission by the princess.
Poe Dameron, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry. But Poe's mission is set out by the princess, and his paths you know, cross with the other characters.
Mm-hmm. That's about it.
And Oscar Isaac likes to continually refer to him in interviews as the best freaking pilot in the galaxy.
Yes. Which Han would say something about that, I'm sure.
Yeah. But, man, I don't know about you guys, but that shot of the X-Wings, like, skimming across the water in the... I think in that last trailer and also in the very first teaser trailer we saw, it was, like, I think maybe still my favorite shot from those trailers. That is just
it is
so
glorious.
Cool.
And now for some characters that...
we know even less about.
Yes. one character is named Maz Kanata. Maz Kanata is confirmed to be in it and played by Lupita Nyong'o. Now... There hasn't been really an official kind of thing saying that this alien character, which can be seen on that the poster, is Maz Kanata. We can assume that it probably is, and we can further assume that it's probably Lupita Nyong'o or Maz Kanata actually speaking in these trailers that were released just so recently.
Asking, who are you?
We
think that is... Lupita.
Yeah, and that voice that says, you know, the Force, it's calling you, just let it in. Now, the interesting thing is, I think it was in Vanity Fair, there was an image that had a caption that said something about, you know, Pirate Queen Maz Kanata's castle. So we know she's a pirate, we know she's, you know, maybe kind of similar to, like, Jabba the Hutt or somebody who's, you know, got a bunch of outlaw, criminal, lackey type people. But then also you hear her in this trailer, and like you said, we think it's the same character talking about the Force and all this kind of stuff.
How is that all connected?
So, yeah, it's like... I don't know.
And
she's like the new Yoda and the new Jabba at the same time.
A lot of people are saying we haven't even seen what Maz Kanata, or at least this character here in this poster, will look like in the film. However, if you look very closely in, I believe, the second trailer...
Real quick,
yes.
Has anyone actually gone through frame by frame in these trailers? Like, I'm sure all of us have, yes? Okay, some of us, okay.
Well, if you go frame by frame...
No, not frame by frame, maybe.
Millisecond by millisecond... You'll see this shot right here of handing the lightsaber. And you can see the little profile right there of that alien, whom we're assuming is probably Maz Kanata right there.
So, possibly.
There you go. And you can tell that from that shot, I know Kyle was, you were wondering, like, how big is this character? Because it's hard to tell in the poster, right? Is that character as big as R2-D2? Or well, probably. It looks like Maz is about, you know, Yoda size-ish?
We do know that Lupita Nyong'o is doing motion capture for her character, so Maz Kanata will be realized as a digital character in the movie. So
yes, important to point out, especially in this world of, you know, Episode 7 is not going to have any CG, or as we can see, there's some things that have to have CG for, and they know how to do it really well in Lucasfilm.
Right,
and of course we saw some very familiar faces, Han and Chewie. Of course, they're coming back. Chewie, no longer crushed by a moon. Nothing
yes!
to Chewie. Chewbacca is alive, Chewbacca is around, and so is Han. And, you know, boy, Chewie hasn't aged a day. It looks great.
And Han, however...
Well, you know, he still looks good. And, of course, we have some other characters who... We have Leia. She's coming back, which is awesome to see. And, you know, Carrie Fisher really... You know, she's looking great. I gotta tell you. You know, Carrie Fisher, I will say this to the day I die. This is... I was worried when I was coming into to things, you know, Force Awakens. And... She got into shape. She got... This is Leia. This is how I picture Leia 30 years after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And also some other little familiar faces. These are kind of little leaked-ish kind of photos.
Yeah.
But both Tim Rose and the actor playing Nine Numb have both confirmed that, yes, indeed, they are in The Force Awakens.
As Admiral Ackbar and
Nine Numb.
Yeah. And of course, you can't have a Star Wars movie without R2-D2 and C-3PO. Mm-hmm. R2 is the best.
With a red arm. C-3PO with a red arm.
So, yeah.
How do you get that red arm? We'll find out in a comic book.
Yeah, there's a tie-in comic coming out, I don't know, like a month before the movie or something.
Yeah.
Apparently is going to give us a little bit of C-3PO backstory before the movie and find out how he got that arm. I still would like to think that he challenged Chewie to a hollow chess match. And
yes.
Chewie got mad and fulfilled the prophecy and ripped his arm out.
Great comic. It just comes down to the last two frames. The last two frames. Okay.
There we go.
Anyway.
Now, one big question that a lot of people have been asking, and I'm sure you might have seen some of these online about these trailers, is where is Luke? Because we know Mark Hamill is he's one of the first names on the poster. He's in the movie. We've talked about him, you know, being in the movie. Luke Skywalker is in the movie, but we've seen maybe one shot.
We've seen his hand.
Yeah. That's him.
I think they want to keep him secret.
Yeah.
So the question is, I mean, a lot of people. Yeah, why is Luke secret? Well, you know, there's, again, we'll hold off until the second half a little bit when it comes to, you know, why
global
Luke
speculation
might be there. And obviously, somebody referred to, I believe, like, there's been some leaked photos and stuff as well that you can see if you're really curious.
Well, Luke mostly just one leaked photo of, like, his whole costume. But.
Yes. So we know Luke is in the film.
There have, however, been some very bizarre theories as to why he is not shown, including the Huffington Post, which made an entire article about why Luke is actually evil. He's not evil, folks.
No.
End of story. Next slide.
No.
Well, you never know. He could be, but I don't think that's the direction they're going to go.
Yes. There's been some talk about maybe Luke being a little cuckoo, you know, perhaps. But is he evil?
No.
I think we should get away from. Well, I'll tell you who is evil.
He's certainly not Kylo Ren. We know that.
Yes.
And we'll get to that in a second.
The First Order
is evil.
These are the bad guys. And let's go over some of the bad guys. Let's go over the dark side.
The dark side.
And we did the light. Never mind. Oh. The Kylo Ren. Here's a picture, and we got Kylo without his mask on right
this
now.
This guy.
He's right on the shirt there. And Kylo right here is played by Adam Driver. There he is with and without the mask on. Without the mask, this was from Vanity Fair. So this is just some quotes here from J.J. Abrams referring to Kylo Ren.
No official description.
Yes. The movie explains the origin of the mask and where it's from, but the design was meant to be a nod to the Vader mask. The lightsaber is something that he built himself. It is as dangerous and as fierce and as ragged as the character. And he is a character who came to be known, who came to the name Kylo Ren when he joined a group called the Knights of Ren.
So, who are the Knights of Ren, you may ask?
Well, we might have seen the Knights of Ren in the trailer. Those folks in a split second right there are showing some guys hanging out in the rain with a bunch of dead bodies around them. Those guys look pretty Knights of Ren-ish to me, with Kylo right in the center.
Do.
Now, a few cool things to notice that, you know, not all of them have lightsabers. In fact, they look
like a ragtag group of people that have a cause.
There's some people that even pointed out that if you kind of lighten it, and I kind of lightened it a little bit as much as I can, but the guy in the farthest left right there, some people are saying that's a Mandalorian kind of helmet that he's wearing. And so
Boba Fett is not in this movie.
I don't think it's Boba.
He could be.
No.
They could have kept that a very good, well kept surprise.
Well, even if it was Boba, I don't know if Boba would be a Knights of Ren.
No, Boba's not in that shot.
Yes. So we have, you know, staffs, we have all these things, we have a lot of dead bodies. So Kylo
seems special, among the Knights of Ren.
And the cool thing to note, I mean, when we first heard the name the Knights of Ren, I don't know about you guys, but I just kind of assumed that...
Ren and Stimpy.
What?
No, never.
Oh, gosh, please no.
No, you assume.
No, but I just kind of assumed that it was going to be a whole group of guys like Kylo Ren with cool masks and cool lightsabers, and that it was going to be sort of like a new generation of Sith kind of thing, which could be cool, but at the same time, it's like, well, we went through 6 movies of Sith Lords and trying to fulfill the prophecy of destroying the Sith and bringing balance to the Force and all that. So when I saw this and realized that these were probably the Knights of Ren, I was like, okay, that's actually kind of cool that it's not just another group of, like, dark side lightsaber-wielding bad guys. It's like... Kylo Ren is part of that group, and he's sort of the, the special one, I guess, to pick up the torch and be like, all right, I'm the Force user, I'm the lightsaber guy, I'm going to kind of lead this cause. But, like you said, we see blasters and staffs and all kinds of stuff. I'm thinking maybe this is just like a group of highly trained warriors, assassins, all those kind of guys who just, I don't know, hate Jedi. I mean, are those Jedi bodies around them? I don't know. Yeah. But they're obviously not very nice people.
Well, we'll find out in 40 days.
The next baddie we have is a Goyle.
A Goyle.
And her name is Jason...
Captain Phasma!
Yes.
He's been waiting all day to say it like
yes, I have.
Captain Captain Phasma is clad in distinctive metallic armor. Captain Phasma commands the First Order's Legion of Troopers. And looks amazing. You can't find Captain Phasma on the shelves.
Anywhere,
because it's just an awesome, awesome outfit. And I don't know if you possibly had some Captain Phasmas knocking on your door this morning, or not this morning, it's Halloween last week. You know, it is a girl. And I think they were promoting it as a boy's costume accidentally because they didn't know any better. The costume people didn't know. So some boys might have been accidentally dressing up as a girl's costume this year. So they're going to have a surprise December 18th when they watch the movie and say, oh my gosh, I was a girl for Halloween? What happened?
But then you would hope that it ends up being a cool enough character and a cool enough costume that they're like, I don't care. I'm happy I wore the armor anyway.
Exactly, because it really is awesome.
Who's the actress again?
Gwendolyn Christie.
Thank you. Of Game of Thrones fame.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Mockingjay.
And she's like 6'3", so you know that is going to be one big imposing stormtrooper.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
What character?
Captain. Game of Thrones.
I'm not familiar. I don't know. I don't.
She was a blonde
girl.
Yeah. There we go.
I was going to say she plays Captain Phasma. No, sorry. Okay, General Hux. General Hux, it says, is a young, ruthless officer in the First Order. General Hux has complete confidence in his troops, training methods, and weapons.
And he also doesn't like to keep his hands in his sleeves.
No, he's like, if you go, he puts a trench coat on, and he's just like, I'm not putting my hands in those sleeves.
I'm going to wear it like a cape.
If I were to guess about this guy, he's looking a lot like a Tarkin kind of guy to me.
Yeah.
Except a young guy, young Tarkin. And he's played by...
Donal Gleason, I think is how you say it.
Donal Gleason?
Domhnall.
Mr. Gleason.
Mr. Gleason
is playing
General Hux.
Yes, I don't know.
And finally, the last baddie that we know of that's a big baddie is Supreme Leader Snoke.
Played by the wonderful Andy Serkis.
Gollum.
King Kong.
Rules.
He played Caesar in the Planet of the recent Planet of the Apes movies. And Supreme Leader Snoke is another one of the motion capture characters for this movie. Yes. We have no idea what he looks like, though, and we have no information about him other than the fact that that's his name and he's in the movie.
And that we hear his voice in the first trailer.
Yes.
When he says, "There's been an awakening. Have you felt it?"
That
is Andy Serkis's voice.
Yes.
But yeah, no appearance by the character as of yet. So that'll be just another cool thing to find out when we finally get to see the movie.
We also know of, because of Mr. Gleason's little slip at San Diego Comic-Con, that the bad guys have a base, and it is called Starkiller Base. Starkiller being based off of Luke Skywalker's original name in the A New Hope drafts, you know.
By George Lucas, yes. Back in the early 70s.
So kind of a nod back to the, you know, George Lucas right there.
Yeah, and not to be confused with Starkiller from the Force Unleashed games.
Yes.
That all the, you know, the previous games and EU and all that kind of stuff has been labeled as not canon anymore. So
Legends.
Yeah. So Starkiller Base is described as such. An ice planet converted into a stronghold of the First Order and armed with a fiercely destructive new weapon capable of destroying entire star systems. Star systems, not just planets. Star systems.
Yeah. So, yes, so it's like a Death Star, except scarier.
Yeah.
And habitable.
Yes, exactly. As you can see that most likely in that poster... In the background there, we are probably seeing Starkiller Base right there. And perhaps some people are saying, that's the port they have to shoot into? Well, maybe. I think more likely probably the laser they're shooting out of. But who knows? Maybe you have to kill it, blow up the thing by shooting into that.
I don't know.
It also looks like, that could just be the planet's atmosphere surrounding it, but it does look like they got kind of an energy shield thing going on over that. So
they don't have to have a moon with the energy shield to shove out around it. They can put it all there. So, you know, the First Order, they're learning from mistakes. They still like to blow up lots of things, you know, these bad guys. But they learn from their mistakes, hopefully, right?
We'll see.
We still want them defeated in the end. I mean, that's,
yes.
We
don't want... In episode 9, they have to be defeated.
Right. So we'll see.
Hopefully.
All right. We are at the midway point right now, ladies and gentlemen. Looking at the thing, right at exactly half hour.
Yes.
Woo. So, this is our...
We are going to play the trailer that was released yesterday, but after that we will start delving into some speculation, maybe slightly spoilerish territory. So if you really do not want to be spoiled about anything, it'll be light spoilers, if anything. Mainly speculation.
Yeah.
Go ahead and leave after the trailer, but please do stick around for this trailer because it is amazing. There's about, you know, a third to half of it is new material that we haven't seen in any of the other trailers. So, and this was released yesterday. It is a international trailer, so you will see the Japanese translation on the bottom. Just ignore that.
Unless you know Japanese.
Yes.
All right.
Anyone not seen this yet before today? Oh, well, there we go.
Who are you?
Chewie blew some people up.
Yeah.
Now, whether those two shots are connected, you know, we don't know. It looks like a kind of a Star Destroyer kind of thing.
Blow up.
The little mouse droid going, get out of here.
It could have been a bunker or something, though. Or Chewie could be awesome enough to blow up a whole freaking Star Destroyer.
Wow, that'd be cool. What a Wookiee. Okay.
What a Wookiee.
Yeah, I mean, that trailer definitely gives us a couple more things to talk about in terms of plot points, especially from some of the dialogue lines and things like that.
Well, yeah, we don't have a slide on it, but I mean, just real quick, talking about Rey. I mean, we know
So we know Rey is waiting for her family. She's by herself on Jakku, and we've known from some various, you know, information and things released that, I mean, it doesn't seem like she's either an orphan or just, you know, she's alone by herself on this planet. But now we kind of get the idea that maybe her family dropped her off there, you know, left, and she's waiting for them to come back.
Yeah.
But we have no real idea.
They were on a family trip. They went to the gas station, and they dropped her off, and they forgot her, and they waiting for them to come back.
Gotcha.
Kidding. Where's the connection? Here's one thing. We're going to start getting to the possible things. Connection between Kylo Ren and Rey.
Is there one?
Yes. There's been some speculation that these two are related in some way. And if you look at the way the poster is set up, and even with that trailer right there that we just saw, with Kylo Ren putting that lightsaber down to Rey, it's like, it makes me wonder, like, are these two siblings or cousins in some way?
And if they are siblings, then whose kids are they?
Yeah, well, I'll just go ahead and put this out there. I've heard the same speculation from a lot of other people, and have the same idea myself. But from the the first time that we got the announcement of the cast for this movie, and they released that picture of the cast all sitting around the table doing the table read, and Daisy Ridley is sitting in between Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher, and I was like, that's their daughter right there. I think Rey is a Solo.
That is my opinion as well, but of course, no confirmation.
I also think when we see that shot of the Falcon flying on Jakku being chased by the TIE fighters and stuff, I think she's the one flying it. So I think she's maybe waiting for her family to come back, but maybe Han left the Falcon there for her in case something bad happened and was like in an emergency. Take my ship and get out of here.
And then, of course, we do get the trailer that came out in the spring where Han walks up into the Falcon and says, Chewie, we're home. So that could support your theory.
Yeah, so it does. It definitely seems from that shot and from that dialogue, it makes it sound like Han and Chewie haven't been on the Falcon in a long time. So
And on the flip side of things, on the dark side of things, is Kylo perhaps some sort of Skywalker Solo relative in some way? If you look at the name Kylo itself, Kai and Lo, could that be Sky Solo combination? You take the two words, you put them together, you get Kylo?
Maybe. Or we're just grasping at straws.
Yeah, maybe.
So again,
that's the great thing. We don't know.
We do know that his last name was not originally Ren.
That's a title from the Knights of Ren.
We do know that from day one when they released the names of these characters, Rey and Finn don't have last names yet.
Yeah,
that's officially.
And people go Rey what? And they said to JJ, why haven't we seen their last name? And he says, well, that's no accident.
Yeah, and then Daisy Ridley was doing an interview, I think, over in Japan or something a few months ago. They asked about her character, and she kind of, like, tongue-in-cheek, wink at the camera, was like, well, she starts off the movie solitary, if that gives you any clue to her background. Like, solitary, Solo, connection.
Personally, I don't know. I'd love to see some offspring of Luke, perhaps. I think, for me, some of the original drafts of Star Wars had Luke Skywalker as a girl instead of, obviously, a boy. It would be kind of nice to see a girl Skywalker take this journey. We'll just see. Again, when I was following the spoilers especially close, this is what, again, spoiler sites were like, we think maybe, we don't really know. Again, the origin of these characters is very secret.
Yeah. Also, I was just going to say one more thing about Kylo Ren. In that last trailer we just watched, you see him looking at Vader's mask, and he says, I will fulfill our destiny. I will finish what you started. Now, in the first trailer that we watched at the beginning, he just says, I will finish what you started. And you think, oh, this is just a guy trying to follow in Vader's footsteps. You know, be the next bad guy, wielding the red lightsaber, using the dark side, all
eliminating
that.
Eliminating the Jedi.
But the other part of that line that he only says in the second trailer, where he says, we'll fulfill our destiny, I don't know, to me, that just speaks to a deeper connection than just, I want to be like this guy. I think it's, I'm related to this guy. Like, we're tied together. We have a destiny. I think he's Vader's grandson, whether he's Luke's son or Leia's son.
I don't know. But. And that's the thing. I mean, when it comes to Vader's redemption, how many people in the galaxy really know about that at this point?
Yeah. Right.
You can see right here in these trailers that the whole idea of the Force has once again kind of vanished. This isn't like, Kevin J. Anderson's Jedi Academy trilogy where there's Jedi everywhere. Which a lot of people might say that's really good. It's not like Kevin J. Anderson's books, but whatever. It's another issue. The Kylo right here is someone who, it looks like he has something going on. He's definitely a fan of Vader. And maybe Luke didn't tell anybody exactly what happened on that Death Star, other than Vader died and the Emperor died. And that's all that people really know.
And the thing to remember is, you know, at the end of the Clone Wars, nobody knew that Anakin was the one who became Darth Vader. So, now what happens, my big idea is, what happens if Kylo Ren is not related to Darth Vader in any way? And this is, of course, pure speculation. If he's not related to Vader anyway, and he's a big Vader groupie, and he believes that Vader is, you know, was right and to hunt down all the Jedi, and that's what he wants to fulfill, what happens if Luke or someone tells him, oh, by the way, Vader was Anakin, and he was redeemed on his deathbed and became a Jedi again? What happens to Kylo then? Will that break him, or will he refuse to believe it, you know? I don't know. It's just a theory, and it's one of these thoughts that pops into my head when I'm thinking about this stuff. And it's I love the fact that we have nothing really concrete about this movie set in stone. Of course, if there's all the spoiler sites and all that stuff, and you could piece things together.
Speaking of piecing things.
But it's not really concrete. And so
there's a piece of this puzzle right here that Disney actually put out before these last trailers came out. And that was Force Friday, going out to the Disney store. You can buy great Force Awakens toys. And they have masks of Kylo Ren where you touch a button on their side and they say stuff. And Captain Phasma says stuff. And Finn and Kylo Ren dolls that you touch their chest and they say stuff in the lines. One of Kylo Ren's lines is it true? You're just a scavenger? So that really sounds like he's talking to Rey.
Right, yeah.
And that line right there, it speaks to, he knows something about her. They knew each other at some point.
Or he's aware of who she might be.
Yeah. The other flip side is that maybe she just blew up something really big. She got captured and he just said, oh, this must be a really big person. Oh, wait, is it true? You're just a scavenger? Is this true? You just blew up something. I don't know. Weird stuff.
Exactly.
Yes.
Just a moisture farmer.
The other clues that we can find are possibly some things from Finn from those toys at the Disney store. Again, you can head over and just press some buttons and learn some stuff. One thing is Finn.
He's spent a lot of time.
I love the Disney store. If you go up to the Captain Phasma toys, you press Captain Phasma, and she goes fire FN2187 and all these kinds of things. You're like, ooh, that's cool. You just press their things. And then I started to realize FN, Finn, Fifth. And then you pressed Finn's button, and one thing he says is FN2187. So is Finn...
his stormtrooper? Is that his stormtrooper number?
And then when Rey says, what's your name? And he goes, Finn. Because maybe that's the first thing that comes to mind. If he's used to, what's your name? I'm FN... what's your name? Finn? Finn. I'm Finn.
Yeah. That sounds good.
Yeah.
So
maybe that's why he has no last name. He's making it up.
Yes. We also see some things in these trailers like this thing right here with this castle kind of thing. This is perhaps as referred to in the Vanity Fair article, Maz Kanata's Pirate Castle, with lots of flags in front. We have the Mandalorian Mythosaur and the Mandalorian Wheat symbol, and we have even Zero the Hutt symbol up there, I believe.
And
Hondo Anaka's symbol is up there.
Yeah, I was about to mention that.
Yeah, so we got a lot of symbols and a bunch of pod racers and stuff too, so that's all cool too, but some bad stuff's going on in here, basically. We would think. This might be the cantina kind of place they're walking into, right?
It could be.
Well, as we go forward into the... we start piecing together Vanity Fair's photo, which was mainly just photos. You know, they got some stuff in there, but one of the awesome photos was Captain Phasma in front of a structure. Well, we look at the structure, it almost looks like a before and after shot. Mm-hmm. Where you can see that little kind of cross thing, that little on that square, looks very similar to what's going on here with Han. So, let's see if I can see it. No, it didn't work. Anyway. So, we can also see some other things going on here in these trailers, such as Han, Finn, and Chewie about to be captured. This is very reminiscent to the, I think, Return of the Jedi, when they had their hands up like this right before the Ewoks all came in to save the day.
Only this time, instead of teddy bears swinging out of trees, it's a squadron of X-Wings storming across the water with a huge cloud of mist behind them. It looks like it's going to be the coolest freaking battle scene we've ever seen in Star Wars.
So probably Poe Dameron, and we're getting a lot of in-atmosphere fighting in this. And I'd be very curious to see if we ever have any true space battles like we're used to. When you think about it, in the previous films, we've had space battles because it's been easier to hide, you know, some of the effects, the matte lines and stuff in a black background. Whereas right now, we're starting to get some scenes that George Lucas was really looking at, like dogfights from World War II here on these in-atmosphere things. And very similar, of course, like Kyle was pointing out, to Battlefront, the game that we're getting. Is it just next week we're getting it? The 20th, right?
The 17th.
17th. Wow.
2.5 weeks.
So, yeah, no, a week and a half.
Week and a half?
Week and a half.
Okay.
Yeah, a week from this Tuesday.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, when they announced the features of Battlefront and stuff, a lot of people were like, oh, why don't they have space battles? And then I saw this trailer, I was like, oh, that's why they don't have space battles, because the movie's not going to have space battles.
Well, we're not only just seeing a space battle here on this Mastinatus planet, or Dogfight, I'm sorry, Dogfight, here, not Spacefire, but also here on probably Starkiller Base as well.
Yeah, because it looks like an ice planet, but then there's also like a big trench running down the middle that looks very Death Star-ish.
Yeah.
So, but it doesn't appear that that's the only battle that we might see on Starkiller Base.
Yes.
Even as far back as the first trailer, we had Kylo Ren in the snow. And of course, we do see this where he's squaring off against Finn there, and Finn has this oh crap look on his face.
What have I gotten into? Now, this doesn't look good for Finn.
No.
And it's important to point out right here, too, that Kylo has his mask off. So obviously in this movie, some people thought maybe Adam Driver just took off his mask just for that photo shoot for Vanity Fair. I don't know. I think he's definitely taking off his mask at least once. What the reason for that might be, I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe. I also think, though, we've seen that shot of him in Vanity Fair with the mask off. I don't necessarily think that's exactly how he's going to look in the movie. It could be. But, I mean, he could have scars or some machinery or whatever, implants or something like that on his face that they just wouldn't want to show you in that photo shoot, because it would just be like, oh, look, here's the actor playing him. And yes, it could maybe even potentially be an intentional misleading kind of thing.
So this is really, a lot of people have said, we saw only footage in the trailers of the first 30% of the film. I'm not quite sure that's necessarily true. I think the majority of it, like Jakku stuff, that's first 30% of the film.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're getting to this. We're dealing with probably the last 30% of the film.
Yeah,
right?
I think, at least for me, I think it's pretty easy to kind of see where they're breaking up, like, the three acts of the movie. I mean, it's going to start on Jakku, the characters are going to come together, the First Order is going to come and find them, and, you're going to have the chase with the Millennium Falcon and the TIE Fighters and stuff. They're going to get off Jakku. Act 2 is going to be the jungle planet with the water and stuff. Now, one thing that's interesting to note, I don't think we had any screenshots of it, but you could see in the trailers there were a couple shots of, like, what looked like a resistance base or something like that. That looked like it was on a similar type of planet where there was some, grassy mountains or forests or whatever in the background. So I don't know if that's on the same planet as Maz Kanata's castle, or yeah, I don't know, maybe that's Yavin 4 and Maz Kanata's on a different planet, but it
again,
looks...
Again, we have no idea!
Right. But it looks like a similar enough location that it maybe could be the same planet, which would explain why the X-Wings are coming from across the water and not coming down from the sky, because they didn't have to come from space from another planet. They were just like, oh, those guys are in trouble, let's fly across the continent and go help them. But I think that's all going to be Act 2, going to Maz Kanata's castle and then that whole battle unfolding, and then I think obviously Act 3 is going to be Starkiller Base and this lightsaber duel in the snow and all that kind
of
thing.
A lot of people are speculating, who has Force abilities?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Is Finn a Force user?
Or does he just have the lightsaber?
Yes. Because if Finn just has one just because stormtroopers know how to fight with swords, and we've seen other people who don't have Force abilities use lightsabers. General Grievous, for a great example, of just a guy who's just swinging his lightsabers around and you don't get hit by him. But with Finn, I would love to see both Finn have Force abilities and also Rey. I will tell you this, that this is piecing together some stuff, and based off of Finn's expression right here, doesn't look good, and I think that Finn's going to be losing this fight. I think it's a safe bet to say that Kylo is going to beat Finn, and who knows if
that means death or capture, or maybe, as in traditional Star Wars fashion, he loses a hand.
Yes. So he might be one arm or hand less at the end of this film.
Why don't we go ahead and jump to the next slide, and
yes,
I'll kind of piece together my whole theory on this whole thing.
Okay.
But, this is kind of the most spoilerish thing in the trailers. Like, I was surprised they put this in there. You see Rey, she's looking out, she's crying, she looks up, and you can see it looks like there's someone in front of her there. We maybe didn't quite get the best screen grab of it. I don't know if any of you guys have noticed this. Like, it looks like there's somebody there that she is, crying over. And the three main theories that I've heard as to who people think that is Chewie, Finn, or Han. Personally, I myself am going with the Han Solo theory. I know a lot of people have, you know, a lot of other different takes on it. But at least my theory on it is that, I think she's right here watching that Kylo and Finn duel take place. And also, as far as your question, Joey, about who might have Force powers, I think Rey is going to end up being sort of the main Jedi character of this trilogy. I think she's got Force powers. For one thing, I mean, in a lot of the promotional materials and stuff, we see her with a staff, which I'm like, that's cool, but you're not going to do much in a fight against, you know, a bunch of stormtroopers with blasters with a staff, and you're not really going to be able to do much against a lightsaber with it. So I think there's going to be more to her in terms of action and combat stuff later on. And, you know, maybe she has been, like, struggling to develop her Force powers. Maybe she's been trying to hide from it because of something bad that happened or whatever. We'll find out. But I think she's going to be watching this fight. I think Finn is going to get defeated, like you said. And I think this is going to be the moment where she finally sort of embraces her destiny. She's going to take up the lightsaber. And I don't think she's going to kill Kylo Ren, but at least, like...
Because we have to have Kylo Ren for at least two more movies,
oh,
right?
Oh, goodness, I hope so. Don't kill it. Don't pull a Darth Maul and give us, like, the coolest villain ever.
Don't get rid of Captain Phasma either. That looks really cool.
Well,
General Hux, you can get rid of him. gonna kill one guy. Kill the guy.
I think this is going to be Rey's tragic moment that inspires her to finally embrace her heroic moment.
Use the Force. And you can see that, I mean, sorry to interrupt, but this is, in the trailer itself, in the trailers, it seems like Maz Kanata talking to Rey to use the Force, Rey, just let it in, use the Force.
Yeah. Now, I do agree that she's probably going to have some sort of Force potential, whether as a Jedi or whatever. I am not entirely sold on the idea that that is a person laying dead in front of her. I could be completely fooling myself, so I'm more surprised when it actually happens. It is possible. I have done that before. But, you know, the more Kyle yaps at me about, that's Han Solo, I'm like, well, maybe.
I think it might be Chewie. It seems pretty hairy right there all around, but it could be a bunch of weeds.
There's a bunch of weeds and stuff in the background.
I don't know.
But
Chewie has a little thing on his arm like he got shot. I don't know. Anyway, moving on.
The one other thing I was going to point out, too, is to answer your question as well about Finn. I don't think Finn's going to be Force sensitive. I think he's just a skilled warrior. I think maybe the stormtroopers are somewhat trained in melee combat. And so I think if this is, you know, Han or Chewie or somebody who gets killed by Kylo Ren, I think Finn, you know, while Rey is grieving, Finn is going to take up the lightsaber and be like, okay, now I'm mad. Like, I don't really know how to use this thing, but somebody's going to stop this guy. So I'm going to try to be the hero right here.
And then
as Kylo Ren is advancing on him, ignites his own lightsaber and whips it up like, I'm going to kill you. Finn's like, crap, what have I gotten myself into?
Now, the other thing is we've all been saying, well, that person is dead. Could be knocked out. They could be injured if it is a person. So, I mean, we don't know.
Bad stuff's going on.
Did I hear you say Maz Kanata back there?
No, lost a hand.
Oh, lost a hand. Lost a hand. Yeah, I mean, it's entirely... I mean, who knows?
Except... She doesn't look like somebody just lost a hand. Like, she looks absolutely devastated right there.
Struggling with having to accept her destiny. There.
Yeah, right.
It's emotional trauma.
Whatever the case. We shall find out in 40 days what the heck is going on. And guys, this is a great time to be a Star Wars fan. We have a movie. We have a great animated series out right now.
Star Wars Rebels. Anybody watch that? Anybody here watch that?
It's great.
You should, if you have the opportunity.
Hello, Tucson Comic-Con.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you all.
We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Amazing costumes, walking around.
Oh, goodness.
Fun. Well, in 1 hour, we will have the official Tucson Comic-Con costume contest in the Leo Rich Theater.
That's right.
And I've got some used cars to sell you out back.
So
I'm voting for the guy in the Kylo Ren costume.
So we have so much more to come, though. Just next year, we have Rogue One coming out as well.
which...
Which will be basically the... It's starring Felicity Jones, Mads Mikkelsen, who I'm totally mispronouncing his name. You know, Hannibal. Forrest Whitaker, Donnie Yen, and that's just to name a few.
Yeah. But this is going to be the story of the rebels who stole the Death Star plan. So basically almost, I mean, I know we've already got the prequel trilogy, but this is like a direct prequel to A New Hope almost.
Yes. And even more after that. Episodes 7, 8, and 9 are being called saga films. Whereas we have these little spin-off ones, which were called anthology films, but now we're calling them Star Wars stories.
Whichever you
want. As if all the rest of the movies weren't already Star Wars stories, but I digress.
Well, yeah, you know, there's a lot of people that are kind of like Star Wars stories, you know, that, you know.
I like it.
Anthology was good.
Anthology's too clinical.
No.
Anyway.
Well, episode 8, right after that, 2017, and then we have a Han Solo one-off adventure of a young Han Solo coming out.
That is confirmed.
Yes, and then we have an episode 9, and then another Star Wars story. Some people are rumoring it's Boba Fett.
Nope. Not going to happen.
Not
going to happen. I'm going to be the most unpopular person in the room. I do not want a Boba Fett movie, because if you want him to be mysterious, do not have him as the main character in your movie.
And then, maybe even more, because let's face it, guys, Disney doesn't just buy something for $4 billion and say, let's just make, you know, 6 films and just stop.
Right.
I would be very surprised if we don't get 10, 11, 12 after that with more one-off Star Wars stories, anthologies, whatever you want to call them, in between them. Very much in some ways like Marvel, where we're having at least one Marvel film per year. It's an exciting time.
Now, before we wrap all this stuff up, we do want to open it up to you guys for questions and that sort of thing, because, you know, obviously...
And it's just about 6 o'clock, but we're the last panel in this room, so we basically have been given license to stay in here as long as we want. So if you guys have questions, if you want to share any crazy theories or speculations that we didn't mention up here, you know, go for it. We'll kind of open the room up to anybody that wants to ask or discuss or whatever.
Yeah.
Question about Princess number
2187? Yes, 2187. They say that in the Death Star.
Yep,
there is it's Princess Leia's
cell
number, and it's actually also a film that was a kind of a experimental Canadian film that George Lucas really liked, called 2187. And it's very kind of artsy, basically. So if you're looking for like an early George Lucas kind of influence, that's probably where he got the number.
And hence his student film 1138 later on.
Yes.
So,
well,
any other questions or comments? Yes.
Who do you think should play young Han Solo?
Oh goodness, I have no idea. Not Nathan Fillion. I know people have been saying Nathan Fillion should do that, but he's too old already.
Oh,
he's already Harrison Ford's age in A New Hope.
Well, he's older than Harrison Ford was in A New Hope, because he's like in his 40s now. And they've said that this movie is going to be about Han like in his late teens, early 20s. So.
Yes.
I do know there's this actor named Anthony Ingruber or something like that, that
he does a really good...
He's like in his mid-20s and does a really good Harrison Ford impression, so he...
You can find him on YouTube.
Yeah.
The Star-Lord guy?
Sam Witwer?
No,
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt.
Oh, Sarah. Star-Lord,
not Star-Killer.
Whatever, this Star, that's all I hear.
And
I could see that, but I still think... Chris Pratt might be a little too old for a young Han Solo movie.
Yeah, again, I think it's going to be someone relatively unknown, because, like I said, I think it was even Kathleen Kennedy who said when they first announced that they were making this movie that he's going to be like late teens, early 20s. So, too young for Chris Pratt. And, you know, the interesting thing for me, I've heard a lot of people say that, because there's also been a lot of rumor about Chris Pratt playing a young Indiana Jones. Even though Indiana Jones and Han Solo are both played by Harrison Ford, I can... totally see Chris Pratt as Indiana Jones, can't really see him as Han Solo. But that's just me.
Well, you know, and also he's in his 30s right now, and Harrison Ford was 30 something in A New Hope. So.
Yeah.
Well, before we go, first of all, we'd like to thank Jason Hunt from the Wampus Lair podcast and Kyle Avery from Star Wars The Saga Continues. You can come up here and talk about that if you want to. They're fantastic podcasts, so check them out. And also, if you we talked about Battlefront briefly right there. If you are getting Battlefront and you want to play with Kyle on Xbox, he's Darth Slim, all one word right there. And me, I'm on the PS4 as Zoidberg 1138. Why Zoidberg? What's wrong with Zoidberg? So also tomorrow is trivia in here. If you or
is it in the same room?
Maybe.
We should be probably in the same room.
Check your schedule tomorrow.
Yeah, if you or someone you know is good at trivia, Star Wars trivia in particular, come on by. And in fact, you can sign up by going to the little tiny URL thing right there at the bottom to put your name on the list so you can get some cool prizes.
If you know your AT-ATs from your AT-TEs and your Jawa juice from your blue milk.
Oh, yeah. You're good. But with that, I'd like to thank everybody for coming by. Thank you so much, and have a great day.
May the force be with you, and enjoy the wait till December 18th. 6 weeks to go.
Thanks.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed that audio. I know I enjoyed producing it, being a part of the panel. Before I go, I do want to give a couple of quick shout-outs here at the end of the show. Of course, big huge shout out goes out to Joey for helping to organize the panel and being in communication with the folks at Tucson Comic Con and get it all set up for the three of us to actually be able to put the panel on. It turned out really well, and we couldn't have done it without him. So obviously another shout out to Kyle Baca, Kyle Avery from Star Wars The Saga Continues. Please check out their podcast if you want all sorts of fun news discussion about upcoming stuff in Star Wars. But be warned, they do tend to go about 3 hours. Anyway, I do want to also give a quick shout out to Kate from Blabba the Hutt podcast. She is one of the new co-hosts of that Star Wars podcast called Blabba the Hutt, B-L-A-B-B-A, the Hutt. She actually was at our panel and was recording it for some snippets for their show. So part of our panel may show up in snippets on their podcast. So that's great. And thanks, Kate, for coming up and talking to us after the show. We really do appreciate that. As far as the con and Star Wars presence, for those curious about Tucson Comic Con, if you're in the area and curious about checking it out next year, Tom Hodges, who is an artist who is mainly known for a lot of his Star Wars art, does come to Tucson Comic Con. He's been there both last year and this year, the 2 years I've been to Tucson Comic Con, and is on the floor doing sketches and selling his art and that sort of thing. I did see a lot of really great Star Wars costumes, particularly some of the female characters. There was a great Padme in her Naboo fighter fatigues costume I saw, as well as a couple of great Queen Amidala versions, different costumes, the black dress with the feather hairdo getup, whatever you want to call that in particular, as well as a Sith Togruta, which is Shaak Ti's species, which turned out really well. We also saw a Sithorian, as Joey likes to call him, a Sith Ithorian, who, I forget his name, but he's part of the Dark Empire costume group, costume club. So, some really neat costumes out there. It's not too crazy of a con on the floor. Like I said, it is a bit smaller than Phoenix Comic Con, and still growing. This is only their 8th year, and I'm curious to see how well they're doing when they hit year 10, because I think as they get their feet under them and they start figuring things out, I think it could turn into a really nice little con. Not as crazy and definitely a little more intimate than Phoenix Comic Con as far as numbers are concerned. But a good con nonetheless. I do enjoy going. It's nice to have sort of a little weekend geek retreat, sort of, so to speak. Just a few upcoming announcements as far as our show is concerned. Carl and I are still trying to look and see about when we're going to be able to record our Revenge of the Sith audio commentary. Hopefully that will be our next episode. That's what we're trying to do. Don't worry, we haven't forgotten about that. So we are going to attempt to get that done ASAP, because we do want to get that and Return of the Jedi done before our Force Awakens coverage will start in December. We do have a matchup that we are obviously not doing this episode. That is going to be Kit Fisto versus Jango Fett. Just a quick reminder about that as we move into our next episodes. It will be on our social media probably later this week. So be sure to join in on that matchup. And we will get back to our Empire Strikes Back radio dramas as soon as we get back to a normal episode. Maybe Carl will add it on the end of this episode. I don't know. I'll give him that option when I send him the audio. But other than that, I think that wraps up this episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. Of course, if you want to get in touch with us, let us know about your favorite con experiences. If you're in the area, let me know, and maybe next time we can meet up at Tucson Comic Con. That'd be kind of fun. Of course, you can always find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Wampa's Lair Podcast. Our Twitter handle is @Wampa's Lair, or you can email us at wampaslairpodcast@gmail.com. And that wraps up this episode of the Wampa's Lair Podcast. It has been episode number 154, The Force Awakens at Tucson Comic Con. For Carl, who is sadly not here, I'm Jason, and we will see you next time here in the Wampa's Lair.